one day when I have an abundance of money, I know which I feel like we can all agree, I'm gonna be rich someday. I'm gonna buy you AirPods.
I know you will. Because you said
if
that
I could
last
afford
time.
It now, I would because I love you, and I feel like you deserve them.
You know, I feel like I deserve AirPods too, but like, Jesus, they're like $100-some.
I was going to make a joke and say, no, I'm only getting you AirPod 1s, but that felt dumb.
I didn't even know there was multiple.
You said AirPods too.
I didn't know there was multiple, so.
Let me school you. There's regular ones, and then there's the pros. Don't even bother with the regular ones. Get the pros. They're life-changing. The noise canceling on them, I can put those in, listen to music and drum, and I don't hear any of my drums if I don't want to. When I mow the lawn, I don't hear anything but the sweet beats smothering my lobes. I feel like that was a Pauly Shore line.
Dude, I just watched Encino Man the other day.
Oh, dude, it's such a good movie.
It is.
I love Pauly Shore. Not anymore.
Why not?
Now he's just kind of actually, you know what? I watched a video of him promoting that studios own his movies, and mm-hmm. if people want sequels, they have to go to the studio and stop messaging him. But while he was saying that, he was eating a sandwich, and it was fucking disgusting. It was just gross. The noises he made, and the...
Right.
Like, stop. Why couldn't you eat your sandwich first? We have technology. You can, like, record it later. It's not like a live TV station.
We talk about music on this podcast. Welcome to Bad Bandmates.
Has it been a while? Maybe.
It's been a while.
And it's been a while. Isn't that when fuck things up again? Is that Creed?
I think it's been a while. I think that's Stained, isn't it?
Oh, Stained. Yeah, you're right. It's not Creed. Same thing.
Yeah, they're both brown stains that
isn't
are just
the,
in
the,
my underwear, you know?
Isn't the singer from Stained a country singer now?
If you think I've kept up on Stained news, I mean, yes. You're sorely mistaken.
Oh. Okay.
But Stained and
but
Creed.
Let me give you some info, though.
Stained and Creed loosely represent music, which is a topic that we're going to talk about today. Music, right?
Nice. I like the way you looped that in.
I love looping. I love looping, dude. You ask anybody, and I'll tell
you. Fruit looping.
new boot goofing, dude. But today, I'm sure you saw, because most of you, I would assume, can read.
Yeah. If you can't, that's fine.
Right. Peace and love, everybody. We're talking about Nirvana. Nevermind.
Classic album from a classic band?
I think all of the above. Yeah.
They're not classy.
No, yeah, you're right.
They have a song called Rape Me. They're anything but classy.
Although I'm sure there's like the meaning behind it is like you know.
Yeah, definitely.
They did a lot of edgy stuff to be edgy, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially, I think actually they started, you know what? I think at the MTV, was it MTV Music Awards or something like that they played? And then where Chris Novoselic got like threw his bass and got nailed in the face and yep. they destroyed everything. I think the yep. song that they were going to play just to piss them off was that.
They did. They were supposed
it.
To play.
They
yeah,
started it and then they played Lithium. I'm
right.
pretty sure.
Right. But I think they played enough of it.
Yeah.
For it to represent a middle finger. Because that's what this band does.
That is a perfect sentence. So, I was actually going to ask you, you said it already, you kind of answered my question, but do you believe this album is a classic? And I definitely do. I mean, this
You want to hear my opener?
Yeah.
All right. Unpopular opinion. I'm not a big Nirvana fan. I have a lot of songs that I like. Nothing that I like love. But, and here's the but.
Mm-hmm.
I have, I think, more respect for this band than any other, like, band that would be considered a pioneer or, like, a classic. Because I truly think that they are, like the Ramones. I don't like the Ramones. I don't think the songs are good.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty straight up. But with Nirvana, I don't love a lot of the songs, but every song is amazing. They were an amazing band. That's just objectively, and it's a factual statement. They're an amazing band. And I think that this album is definitely, I think it's their most popular. Yeah. It has to be this one or In Utero or however you say it.
Yeah, In Utero. Yeah.
But I would say only because it smells like Teen Spirit, I'd say that this album trumps everything that they've done.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Right. Yeah, I kind of made an opening sort of statement, but
hit
maybe
me with it, baby.
Maybe no, I'll save it for the end because it's not really an opening. It was just kind of a big run-on sentence. So you know,
perfect. That's what grammar is about.
That's what grammar's all about. Yes. So we're talking about Nirvana. Nevermind. Did you do track by track again like we always do?
Always and for always. And that's
always
a thing.
And for always. So, I mean, we hit it off with an absolute banger of a track.
Dude.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
You know, this song shouldn't be an opener, but also this song should really be the opener. You know what I mean?
I think that this is the perfect opening for an album.
In writing an album, you don't want to give away. Like when we talked about Swimmers, they showed all their cards right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can't do better than that. This song reads and, well, listens like the card that you don't want to show on this album. But and normally you'd want to hide that for a while. But somehow it's so perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
This song is so dang good. I mean,
it's so good.
It's in the same vein as, like, and maybe you don't think this way, but, like, whenever you hear, like, Seven Nation Army or, like, you hear the, you know, it's like you can't help but get just hyped, you know?
Absolutely. And this is also one of those songs that people get really pretentious on. And they're like, you probably, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit and you've never listened to the B-sides. And, like, fuck you. Smells Like Teen Spirit rocks. And that's a stupid thing to say. The people that are so wrapped up in, like, the different sides of Nirvana, like, you can still appreciate how good this song is. It bangs. Right. I don't have anything negative about it. It's just, it's like a perfectly written song. And, you know, if you've never listened to Nirvana, first of all, why? Second, Kurt Cobain's vocals on this song, and every song, but his screaming voice is the sexiest of anyone.
Absolutely.
It's so good.
If he were still, you know, if he hadn't died, you know, and passed away, I don't know how much longer this voice could have lasted. But
probably not very long. I mean, he's pushes.
His chords were probably shredded. Just his, like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, but I agree. That was one of the notes I wrote down kind of as a major, like, whole positive to the album. I mean, as weird as it is, Kurt Cobain had, like, a great voice, not in a perfect way, but in, like, oh my God, he can hit these notes and that note, not in that kind of, like, perfect way, but, like, just the way he screams and, like, yells and just the passion kind of, which is, I hate saying that shit, but, like, because it's just pretentious,
but, like,
it's just, you can hear him just, like, the passion behind it, you know? So,
and I feel like in some aspects, what he does vocally is harder than, you know, singing high notes, like, clean and in pitch. I think because this hurts when he does this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that it's, if you don't recognize the talent and, like, the skill in this type of music, in this art form, you're blind, because this is not easy to do. Like, you can get mad and yell at someone, but try to do it in fucking pitch.
Exactly. And, you know, just as a kind of another overall point, I'm pretty sure Dave Grohl also did, like, background singing, like, you know, and screaming and yelling and whatever. I think on all the other tracks that have two tracks, like two vocal tracks, I should say, I think it's just Dave and Kurt, you know?
Yeah, they actually, I watched a little rabbit hole here. I watched a video once, and it was, I think it was about Nevermind.
Okay.
So they had the producer, Butch Vig, I believe is his name.
That sounds right.
The dude bugs the absolute living shit out of me. I just want to clarify that. But what was he's just very, like... Like, I know that you recorded and produced this album, but also, they're really good. You didn't... You know what I mean? Like, don't take all the credit. You can't take all the credit, Butch. But what he did do cool in that video is he was taking sessions from the album... Like muting certain parts so you could hear the harmonies.
Oh, that's
and hear
awesome.
Dave and Kurt singing together. I wish I knew what I'll side note, I'll ask Ryan what it was called because it was a super good documentary.
That sounds familiar though. I feel like I've seen that video, you know?
But. I feel like most people have. It's probably all over YouTube, but it was really fun to listen to, and they actually have very oddly similar voices.
Yeah.
Kurt and Dave. They're very, very close.
Yep. Definitely.
And it's really fun to listen to.
It's in the same way. You know what's also weird is that another side tangent, you know, Foo Fighters, which obviously is now Dave Grohl's band.
Yeah.
The drummer for that band and Dave Grohl drum the exact same. Like they just, even down to like the way they look behind the kit. Mm-hmm. And so it's weird that I don't know. That's my brain's gone, you know, in wacky wild.
It's like it's like when you search for a drummer, he put out that like you have to play exactly. You have to play like me.
Yeah.
Or you're not joining the band. And he found the perfect guy.
Yeah, definitely. I think his name is like Taylor, I want to say. I want to give him credit, but, you know, but anyways. Back to Nirvana, Nevermind.
Yeah.
Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah, I mean just the vocals and I don't know what it is, and I can't put my finger on it other than it just, I always like minor key sounding stuff and like very kind of, I mean, you know, I've talked about that before, and I think that like every one of the songs on this album like has that feel. So like where it's kind of more minor chords and stuff like that versus like, you know, really happy songs, which is obviously probably due to the anger and like depression that grunge was. And so
the anger and depression that was Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, exactly. But just I don't know what I was trying to say there. My point was, but
it I get it. It hits everything that you and also I enjoy.
Right.
It's a great track.
Yeah, it's just perfect. So, obviously, that Smells Like Teen Spirit. Iconic song from an iconic album. Then we get into In Bloom, which is another track for me that's just like a perfect track. I don't know. It's just so strange because it's kind of more laid back. Laid back in like Nirvana's terms, because it's just more mid-tempo, I guess I would say, versus like faster stuff or whatever. But anyways, I just love the groove on this track, and this is kind of where you really notice I guess we would mention Dave Grohl's drumming, you know, because I think that this track and you can hear it in everything he's been a part of, like drumming wise. He has a very formulaic way of drumming. If he does a fill at this point, he'll do that fill again at the same point when they go back around to it. And that's like that. This is textbook like Dave Grohl drumming. He never does anything crazy and wild, but like he always is just consistent and consistently good, I would say. But
yeah, I agree. My thoughts on Dave Grohl's drumming.
Yeah.
While we're getting, because this is where I got it too. Because I love the verse vibe on this is great. How he kind of drags behind the beat a little bit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
a couple things on it. One, I've always loved his drum sounds. No matter what he's playing, it just sounds fucking massive.
Right.
Just these big, big snares, these huge toms. I mean, it sounds like he's got just fucking all like 20-inch floor toms, and that's all the toms that he has. Yeah, it's incredible. Exactly. He will never do anything like super, super flashy. You know, I mean, like he has nice fills, but he's not doing like blast beats or anything that you would hear in like metal band, because metal drummers, I feel like, genuinely are better drummers than most people. He's not going to do any of that stuff, but he is so solid, and he's just he knows how to serve all the songs appropriately,
yeah,
without being like overbearing with his playing, which I think makes him an amazing drummer.
Yes. And this was kind of an interesting track. I guess technically we should probably talk about the lyrics at some point. What weird lyrics, man. Just for this song Super is like weird. The most straightforward one, I think, but like some of the stuff that he says on Smells Like Teen Spirit, I'm like, I don't know what you're actually saying.
Like the mulatto bit, like you're just picking words that rhyme.
Yeah. Isn't it like a mosquito, my libido, or something like that?
A mosquito, my libido. What do you say?
I don't know. But this song was always interesting to me because it was just like that very... this is where I actually understood Nirvana lyrics, I guess. It's pretty easy to understand. It's like, you know, if you know the band, you know that they never really wanted the attention or like the whatever. It was just like they just wanted to play, I guess, you know, or to have people who maybe thought like them, acted like them, be a part of them, and they could be their own little thing. But, you know, I guess we'll never know. But basically, In Bloom was about like just like maybe people that just hear the single or whatever, and so they sing along and they don't even know what they're talking about or know the lyrics or know the meaning. They're just blindly, you know, yelling along sort of thing, which I don't know. I mean, that's just super angsty. It seems like, and being like,
it is.
No, don't, like, you don't know what I'm talking about, man. Like,
you got to listen to the lyrics, man.
Yeah.
One of those types of things.
But, I just love the breakdown of this song. Just the, and pretty much every song of just like the just crash in, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, you know. Like,
and dude, if you haven't listened to the, like, really pay attention to the harmonies on the chorus.
Yeah.
Ooh, I know. So good.
This track, it's just because
they're so tight.
Yeah, the harmony is just hitting that really high, like, she's the one, like the really high shit. Oh man, it's crazy good.
And so good.
Yeah, it's very matching. But I guess that's In Bloom.
Yep. I've got nothing else to say. It's a great song.
Perfect. Well, we got that Come As You Are next.
Come As You Are, dude. The intro riff on this, oh god, it gives me just the willies.
I thought you were gonna like this. I mean, obviously you've listened to this album before, but like, we've never talked about classic albums like this. So I, as soon as I heard this riff, like just going through it to actually take notes, I was like, I think Josh is a fan of this weirdness.
Oh, absolutely. The hook right when he comes in with, I mean, the riff is great. And then the hook when he comes in with the vocals, like just the way that he's sing, it's just, it's a perfect sing along. And you know, I'm a sucker. I'm the guy in Bloom that he's singing about.
Yeah.
That I'm just... Yeah, me, no, I think that this song is really good. My only complaint is I do think that the chorus is just the tiniest bit lame when he's just saying Memoria over and over. I feel like I expected it to be bigger, I guess, and it never really did that. But I love the verses on this song, and the riff that he's playing is just awesome.
Definitely.
It's so eerie.
Exactly. Yeah, it's got this creepy vibe to it. So, yeah, this song, if you know, if I'm trying to just listen to like the main songs that I want to by Nirvana, obviously this one probably was also a pretty popular one, but like yeah. this song, I could kind of, I like it, but I could kind of live without it. Like, I don't like need to listen to it every time I listen through this album, you know? But that's just me. It's a good song though. I do like it. It's just like, sometimes I want just the amped up fucking Nirvana. You know, I don't sure. want this kind of, again, like more of a slower tempo sort of track and stuff.
Yeah, I can dig that. I do want to point out that there's a few, this is a song and then Smells Like Teen Spirit where they have guitar solos. And oh, yeah. I think that people make fun of Kurt Cobain because like his guitar solos aren't that hard to play.
Yeah.
But they're fucking good. They're really good. Like yep. this is perfect for this song. It doesn't need to be some flashy fucking like Ted Nugent guitar solo.
Right.
You know, yeah. it can be basic and still serve the song well.
Right. And I actually had a note to talk about the guitar solos too. Was not in the song. I can't remember which one, but since we're bringing it up, but yeah, it's the guitar solos were like, yeah, like you're saying, just kind of basic, but like they're basically just following usually the melody line for like the chorus or something, mm-hmm. you know, with like little like maybe bends or like some, you know, some changes and stuff to that like that. But I always liked that. It was unique, you know, for kind of paving a path for simplicity, you know, and rather than just, like you said, just being a flashy guitar player, you know, going deedly deedly deedly, you know, and like just fucking going like, this just was so unique. And I like the guitar solos. Yeah. It just brings a little flair to it, but
yeah, and that's all you need is just that little bit of pizzazz. It doesn't need to be anything insane.
Yep. So, Breed, I guess, would be next.
Yeah. Is it the bass? I can't tell if it's the bass or guitar. Something is like super, super crunchy. Yeah. And almost farty sounding through the speakers. Is it the bass or is it the guitar?
Yeah,
what's farty in this?
I mean, yeah, it's the bass. I mean, it's got a kind of a beefy sound to it. Yeah, on this track. I think that this is actually an underrated gem from the album, though. Like, I don't think like this song gets talked about as much, I guess, or some of the other songs we'll come across later on and stuff, but I always loved this song. It's like when you get away from In Bloom and Smells Like Teen Spirit, and then you come across a song like this, and it's pretty much like a straight up almost punk song, you know?
Yeah.
Versus like the grunge and stuff like that. But like, it just was like Nirvana's rendition of punk, you know? So I always liked this track.
I agree. I think it's really good. I love after the chorus, he does some like echoing callbacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that part. My only thing with this song is in the chorus, I believe it's the chorus, he has lyrics that say, "We could plant a house, we could build a tree." That's backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is.
I don't know why, but it just bothers me.
Well,
it was obviously purposeful.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? But it just bothers me for some reason.
Yeah,
but I do. I love the driving verses with yeah. the poop, poop, bap, poop, poop, on the drums, and that's yeah. exactly what it sounds like. So if you haven't listened to this song, you don't need to anymore because I
that's
just
exactly
did it for
you. That's the same sound coming out of Josh's mouth.
Face is a drum set.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't really have much to say on Breed other than I think it's an underrated jam that just steps on the gas and doesn't let up. You know, it's just blazing. Yep. It's good. I like it.
Yeah, this is a driving 90 down the freeway song.
Hell yeah, dude. Down Highway 69, if you catch my drift. You know what I mean?
I don't get it.
Okay, well, let's move on to Lithium. This is... This is a top tier Nirvana song. I actually feel like it's two for you.
Number two off the album. Number two off this album.
Two off this
in
album?
In my opinion. Smells Like Teen Spirit's going to be number one. But this song fucking... ooh. This song slaps. You give me Yaz for a hook?
I know.
Shut the fuck up. That's the best.
I wrote the same thing, dude.
Like, it's the best. That every chorus should just be yeah.
I know. It's so good. Like, and I love the just... there's not much build up between like just the soft, soft verse and the chorus. It's just like da, 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 and you slam
it's just
into
Dave
the
Grohl.
Chorus,
yeah. It's just Dave Grohl just fucking banging it in. Which is gross.
Right. But it's just I love this song. I mean, I love the little bass and drum breakdown kind of at the end. Where Kurt is saying he's so horny, but that's okay because so are you or something. I mean, that's perfect. It's perfect. I love this track. Love this track.
I'm with you. It's a great song. I don't have anything else more to say on it. I love the bridge. I like it.
Yes.
That's a really sweet little kind of... It's not in the same realm as the rest of the song. They kind of like broke it down and went on like a kind of like a swingish kind of vibe, I suppose.
Yeah.
And so cool. So cool. And it's another really prime example of Kurt Cobain's just scratchy but super on pitch and good.
Exactly.
Vocals. It's just great. It's so good.
It's so insane. There will never be a voice like his. Never. Mainly because of what I said earlier, where their vocal cords would be destroyed. You know, unless they were doing a lot of heroin to where they couldn't feel their vocal cords. But, you know.
Well, if memory serves, I think he... I'll cut that
one
part
plus
up.
One
plus one might have been.
Two. No, you can leave
do you
that
know
in.
The?
That's
do you
the
know
I
the
said.
Story? that's funny. Lithium. I got nothing else on that one. Do you?
Great track. Yeah, I love it.
Great song.
Then we get into Polly, first of all.
Yeah.
I actually like this track a lot.
Sure.
I don't know why. Like, it's... I think it might just be kind of how unique it is, I guess, comparatively to the album. And plus, it's, like, perfectly in the middle. So, like, it's, you know... It breaks up the album a little bit, maybe. You know, I'm not entirely sure what the main catch of it is, but I love this song. And I have to mention this, and if you haven't seen this, we have to watch it right now. But have you seen Jack Black a cappella singing this song? Dude. That's the funniest shit of all time.
I love Jack. I know we're not talking about him, but it's so good. It's just so dumb.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen this, just search Jack Black sings Polly or Polly Nirvana or something like that. He's just like in traffic and just is filming himself. And if you know Jack Black and like his comedy shit, like you know he does, like, these weird, like, he's very, like, sound effect-y and kind of, like, you know, very animated, you know,
a very human being.
And he's just, like, in traffic, and he's just shaking his head back and forth, and he's just, like, bam, shikafleeny, shikafleeny, dee-dee-dee-dee, bam, shikafleeny, shikafleeny, dee-dee-dee-dee, bam, that's a cry. She can flow. She can flow. Dude, go watch that right now.
It's really the best thing. I'll stand by that too.
What's that?
I'll stand by that too. It's really good.
I don't know why, but I watched this video like 10 times a day when he put it out. But anyways, yeah, watch that. But this is a very unique song. It's very acoustic, you know, there's nothing really going on, and then there's just random cymbal hits, and that's about it, you know?
Amazing harmonies on it.
Yes.
Don't let that slip. They're really good. And here's a fun fact that I learned in that documentary I talked about earlier. Apparently, if I remember this right, They were trying to record the song, and it, like, wasn't working. It didn't sound good. Nobody liked it. So Kurt Cobain just sat back on a couch and started playing it. And I guess that, again, the producer, Butch, was like, don't fucking move. Keep doing that. And just shoved a microphone in his face and just record him lean back on a couch doing this. And then they dubbed in the harmonies and, like, the little additives after. But apparently this was just him sitting on a couch jamming the song because they were frustrated that it wasn't turning out good. And I feel like that's, to me, the only reason why the song is as good as it is because it has that sort of realism vibe. Like, sure. It does sound like just some guy playing it on a couch.
Yeah. You know? If that's I like true, that. I mean, that's fucking awesome.
I'm like 99% sure,
sure
that 50% of what I said is accurate.
Okay. Well, and
no,
there
no,
it
no.
Is.
I'm pretty sure that that's accurate if I remember right, which I'm sure I don't.
That's dang. I mean, that's awesome. Yeah, this song is just so interesting, and again, lyrically, I have assumptions of what this song's about, but, like, I have
hard to
no
break down.
Clue.
No. I don't know what a lot of it's supposed to be about. I can make guesses. It's probably not right.
Right.
So that was Pauly. Should we move on to territorial pissing?
Yes, and first of all, my phone auto-corrected it to puddings. So it's... Territorial puddings.
Dibs for a bad name.
All right, yeah, you got it.
Yes.
I just what the fuck is he using at the beginning to make his guitar sound like that?
I this isn't my favorite song.
I love this song. You know that though.
Oh yeah, I knew that you would. But yeah, I have no idea what he did and how he got these sounds or they got these sounds, but they're definitely not natural.
Right. Yeah, dude. It's like overdriven to shit. Like it's like they turned on all the ugly noise on like a fucking amp.
Did you find every distortion pedal in the studio and just link them together running through a fucking, like, grunged out Marshall half stack? What is happening?
But at the same time, for me, I love it. Because I don't know if I've heard a guitar sound like that since, you know? Like, it's very unique. Like,
it's as gross as it gets. In a good way.
Yes, definitely. I like this track because it's just another fucking like punk, like hardcore track, you know? Like,
yeah.
The way he's like screaming by the end of this is like so. It's
Howie.
Like. It's almost like you can feel like his throat, like how dry it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like. Just yelling.
There's no way he didn't just like barf all over when he got done.
Oh man. Ugh. I saw a Twitter video the other day of a metal vocalist who was like a screamy guy.
Mm.
And they're just screaming and they're like rah, 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 and they fucking barf on the mic and then they keep playing and singing.
That's disgusting.
I watched it 10 times. I watched it exactly 10 times.
I would have felt like I was dying because I can't watch people vomit.
You have emetophobia?
I do, actually.
You know, the only reason I know what emetophobia is because of music. Because of a song. There's a song called something to do with, it's Showbread for anybody who's in the know.
Oh, I thought it was Showbreed.
Oh, I don't know. What are you saying?
I thought it was show breed all this time.
No, showbread.
Oh.
You know showbread?
No. You must have worn a shirt or have a poster behind you or something.
You know what? It was Hunter. Hunter
has it?
I don't want to say this for certain, but I'm pretty sure I introduced him to showbread. And like it became like one of his favorite bands.
Okay.
But
yeah, it wasn't me.
That holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I told you I got a tummy ache.
What are you creaking open a 1908-year-old door? What the?
I was just opening the cellar to my basement.
Can we sidetrack real quick?
Yeah.
When we slept over after Brewfest.
Yeah.
Dude, did you hear any of my farts from all the way down in the basement?
No.
Dude, no. Blasting like a cannon, dude.
Nice.
Dude,
and you know, my house is, whatever happens down there, we generally hear everywhere else.
That's kind of what I was like, oh man, like they're definitely hearing this. And it was just like, bam, like really.
I'm bummed that I missed that, but I sleep with two fans,
okay,
and also like thunderstorm sounds. But you know, next time I'll try to be in the quiet so I can listen for toots.
Perfect. So, what fucking
leaving
song
that part in?
We're talking about music today, right?
Yeah, Territorial Pissings. Hey, I want to say, although I don't really like this song very much, because you know I'm not like a really straightforward punk lover, but I love the you know, positive feminism line. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
He says, "Never met a wise man. If so, it's a woman." Way to be. Ooh. Way to go. That's accurate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Women are better than men. Fuck you if you disagree.
And that's it.
And that's the end of that.
Yep, that's the end of the episode. No.
Okay, bye.
Doom, ba-da-doom. Drain You is next.
Yeah.
I just found it like kind of funny with how ugly the guitar chords of the last track were. And then you come to this one, and it's as clean as can be. And mm-hmm. I mean, I like that, just the contrast there, you know? Very clean sounding track, but, like, music-wise.
Can I read you some lyrics?
Yeah.
Okay. I travel through a tube and end up in your infection. Chew my meat for you. Pass it back and forth in a passionate kiss. From my mouth to yours, I like you. That's heavy. Don't know what it means.
Right, but it meant something.
Well, I mean, I know what it means, like literally. Don't know why he wrote it, but man,
right?
That is some lyrical content.
This is some lyrical content. Just us.
Oh, I thought there was going to be more.
No, I was. But I could see where you were saying, where you were coming from.
Yeah, right.
I don't have much to say on this track. I actually really do like this track, though.
I do too.
Again, especially in contrast to Territorial Pissing Puddings, because this song just goes all the way clean, you know?
Yep.
And it's not dirty, it's not muddy, it just is like, it's so clean. And I think it's almost like the best singing on the album.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Definitely.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think this is one of the songs where when I think of Nirvana, like Drain You is in my, like, yeah, that's a classic Nirvana song. It's just, yeah. It's a catchy little jam. It really shows off, I assume Kurt Cobain specifically, I assume that he did most of the songwriting, but it really shows his ability to like write a full, complete, like perfectly crafted song, which is what this is.
Right. And then we move on to Lounge Act.
Yeah.
I felt like this could have been a ska song if Kurt kind of like made his guitar notes a little solely upstroke guitar and a little bit more staccato. It could have been,
dude,
a ska song.
I have to read you my one note.
All right.
This song is 50% ska, 50% Nirvana. That's the end of it. That's all I wrote for this.
Yep.
This is a ska song. The only difference is he's playing guitar like Kurt Cobain instead of like the guitar player from Real Big Fish. If he did any of those upstrokes, like you said, this is 100% a ska song.
Right. It's got a great bass line in the throughout mm-hmm. the verses and stuff like that.
Something we haven't really talked about yet. Bass player of this band, don't know his name. Do you?
Chris Novoselic.
Yeah, Chris Novoselic. Great bass player. Super solid.
Yeah. And he's like 8 feet tall as well.
He's 18.
18 feet tall. Yeah.
I think he's 18 foot two.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. He's just the strap of his bass couldn't go lower, you know?
No.
Like he's 8 foot tall and the strap of his bass is like goes down 6 feet. So he's just hunched over, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's pretty much resting it on the ground while he plays.
Yeah. So other than that, though, not much to say on that track. I like it. I mean, there isn't a song I feel like I could do. I don't like, you know, the only one I said like in the beginning was Come As You Are. I don't think it's as good as people like kind of put it. The pedestal they put it on, but every song on this album is just good, you know, for me.
Yeah.
Stay Away would be next.
Love the verse where there's, I think, is it Dave Grohl singing or is it him first? I don't know. Somebody says a line and then there's a distorted guitar that comes in and then it's like a call and response with the vocals. Super, super duper cool. And this chorus, I feel like I hear people try to recreate this kind of chorus often, like local bands that I've seen.
Yep. Doesn't he say God is gay at one point?
Does he?
If he doesn't,
are you making that up?
No. Hold on. If he doesn't, don't leave.
Oh yeah, he does. He does right at the end.
Yeah. It's the last line of the song. Yeah.
Yeah. I never noticed that.
I love that. That's
funny. So stay away, stay away, stay away. God is gay, and then end.
I mean, you know, you're kind of like, did you just say God is gay? He's been saying
stay away.
You know,
he definitely said God is gay.
That's a very interesting line. I mean,
it's a very interesting line. But he does this where he'll like in Smells Like Teen Spirit. When he says how low, how low, how low, but then what does he say? Oh yeah, he says like how low, but then on the last one he says hello, but it kind of sounds the same. He seems to like to do that because his vocals are usually mixed in well enough to where you don't always catch everything and you kind of have to listen. Like you said, like you questioned, like did he say God is gay? I need to rewind.
Right.
And then you're still like, I don't know. He probably didn't say that. But yeah, no, he did.
Yeah.
He did say God is gay at the end.
Yeah. Man, just some of the strain on his vocals in this track too are just like fucking insane. I don't know how he did it, but
I would have loved to have seen him recording vocals for anything really.
Sure,
just to see like how much power it actually takes and what it takes out of him when he's finished.
Yeah.
Like, are you doing two songs a day? Probably not. You're probably doing one and then you need to rest for a week.
Yeah. Right.
It's like running a marathon.
Exactly.
We're just talking and my throat hurts.
The other thing about this track is it is very similarly structured to Breed. Like, especially even the beginning where it's just like drums and then they put in the bass and then they bring in the guitar and everything crashes in, you know? And then the energy kind of just kind of stays up sort of thing, you know? But
yeah, it's a formula.
Yeah. But that's all I got for Stay Away.
Let's move to On a Plane.
On a
Plane. But Plane, PLAIN.
Bagel. On a plain bagel. Give me some cream cheese.
That's not a plain bagel anymore if you put cream cheese on it.
Why do seagulls fly by the sea?
Why?
Because if they flew over the bay, they'd be bagels. On a plane, bagel. This.
Okay.
I like
we're,
the.
We're, let's just be done.
I like the harmony on this track, dude. Like,
yeah, very good.
The vocals on this joint, very good.
Yeah, very underrated harmonies on a lot of this album.
Yeah.
Really, probably in Nirvana's catalog. Their harmonies are always, they're to the point where they're so tight that you probably don't even notice that there's harmonies a lot of the time.
Right, right.
That's quality work.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is a great track, really.
Yeah. It's sort of like a, this is another one that's like a break from the minor chords, and it's a little more on the positive sounding side, yeah, musically speaking. It's right. Nice. It's a nice break.
Love myself. Yeah, I love the harmony on that little bit. So good. Yeah, but yeah, this is more relaxed. It's good, more on the positive note side. I did write down that it can be conceived as kind of lazy singing during the verses, like that. Like it's kind of like that, but I thought it was a cool artistic choice, and I hate saying
I did
that
too.
But like it's,
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. And if it wasn't, and he was just, you know, having an off day, forgiven because of everything else that you did on this album,
right?
Because holy shit,
plus,
you know,
it works.
Take a fucking break.
It just works well.
I think it sounds great.
Then I guess we can get into the last track, Something in the Way.
Something in the Way. This song is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
So haunting, and I don't know. This would play in the credits of like a really sad murder documentary.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Well, I know, I get it.
I was just thinking about just stuff, but this is it's very haunting. It's got a lot more elements that haven't been on a track. There's like violins and cellos or something, like a little bit here and there. And I was gonna ask you, what do you think of this as the closer? You know.
This is going to sound really bad, I think, considering what the end result was for Kurt Cobain. But something that draws me into their music is sort of the, for lack of a better way of saying it, the sad, depressing side.
Yep.
And that's what this song is. This song is, you know, depressing and sad sounding. Also right. Gorgeous, though, because I think that there can be, you know, there can be beauty in that.
Yeah, yeah.
When exposed properly or when talked about properly. Mm-hmm. And I think that this song is the perfect ender to really kind of a rockin' album. And then to have it close on something as pretty and just, you know, low key as this, I think was perfect. I think it was absolutely perfect.
Sure. Yeah. I'm with that. And I think having Polly in the middle and then this be the end with kind of the more really, really low down sort of acoustic-y vibe, mm-hmm. you know, sort of tracks. I think having Paul, if this was like the only slow down track like this, it still would have worked. Right. But I think you got prepared for something like this throughout the middle of the album. So you get that one track and you're like, oh, okay, this is interesting. But then I think it just adds onto the effectiveness of the closer. Because I don't know if I just heard 11 grunge rock punky songs and then just heard this, I just kind of would have been like, well, this is fucking weird, you know? But yeah. Like, I think they prepare you for it, which is nice. Yep. That's how I thought about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And also, this is like, when I think of Nirvana and I think of like, you know, classic songs and performances, like the MTV performance that they did, right? Like, this is that kind of track, and it gives off that vibe, and that's something that I've come accustomed to when thinking of Nirvana. So this song makes sense to me in the world that would be Nirvana. I love it. I think it's gorgeous.
Absolutely. So, unless we got any more to say, we can kind of wrap up on the Nirvana album. Very interesting. I don't know if it's a lawsuit or anything yet coming up with it.
That's just...
But... So this is one of those albums where it's like... It's never not going to be like in rotation at vinyl shops. You know what I mean? And like, for those of you who know me, I have a lot of vinyl records, right? And there's certain classics where like... They're always going to be there, I feel like. And Nirvana's Nevermind was one of them. I was like, eh, that's always just going to fucking be there. And then this fucking, like, the baby from the picture is like, I need money, bitches. I was like, oh, shit, this immediately moved to, like, top priority vinyl grab.
Code red. It's like when Prince died, I was like.
Exactly.
I need to go buy fucking Purple Rain.
Like MF now. Doom, like literally MF Doom when he passed away, like, and some of his vinyl hasn't been in like reprints for a while and stuff like that, but most of them are. But like immediately within an hour or two or a couple hours, whatever, his vinyl records on eBay and stuff like that shot up to like hundred some dollars, and I'm like, well. Guess I'm glad I've been a fan for a long time because I got all those records. So they've since done reprints and stuff like that. But dude, that's shitty. Like, and this is another tangent, but like, I just got so scared. I was like, if they fucking just like remove the baby from the cover, it's like,
it's a pool.
It's a pool with a dollar in it.
Just, yeah.
And like, and so I was like, well, you know, I'll own a piece of history. Otherwise, I've been wanting this album at some point anyways, you know, so.
It's like, it's a must own. Like, oh, I don't have the vinyl. I don't have the vinyl, but do I have in, like, a really super old, I guess we'll say vintage CD? Yeah.
Of course. Absolutely. Of course
I do.
So.
Hey, can I just talk about my age for a second?
Talk about it.
CDs are vintage now, and I fucking hate that. I hate that. I hate that so bad. You know, there are kids alive that have never used a compact disc.
Right. I have a huge CD collection, too. Jeez.
I don't anymore. Well, Casey does, and I mooch off that, but I never thought CDs were gonna. Here's another tangent. I never thought CDs were gonna go away, so I'd be like, I'm not gonna put that in a fucking case. I'll just go buy another one. No, I won't.
Nope.
They don't make them anymore. It's stupid. You guys want to know why I'm not a successful musician? Nobody fucking buys things anymore.
Well, I mean,
and I suck. I suppose that's probably.
No.
Lack of talent might have a play in that.
Well, hey, listen. Maybe we're going to talk about one of those albums soon here, maybe. Huh?
I would like to do that. I would like to do that a lot.
So, teaser trailer. And we'll be back in a year. That's what a teaser trailer is. They're just like, aha, we're doing this. And it's like a shadow in an alleyway. And then it says like Batman and you're like, oh, and then they're like coming 2025 and you're like, oh,
Stranger Things did that. Like in 2020, they put out, well, granted COVID happened, but you're going to put out a teaser and then tell me it's not coming out until 2022. Fuck you. Fuck you for that.
You have never said fuck you in that way ever. And then you were like, well, fuck yeah, I said it that way. So I'm going to say it again. I'm gonna double down. But yeah, what do you think about the Nirvana album Nevermind?
What do you think about us?
What do you think about us, dude?
Okay.
I was waiting for a response.
It's not positive.
It's like Dora the Explorer, dude. I'm like, I'm like, what do you think about me? You hate me? I hate me too. Yeah. Let me just fucking clap in Spanish. But honestly, dude, this album is a certified classic. It's dang good. If you haven't listened to it, what the heck are you even doing with your life, dude? Are you three? That's the only reason you haven't listened to it. You're three.
Yeah.
You're 3 years old, dude.
Yeah.
Open up your ears, threes, and listen to Nirvana's Nevermind.
Open up your mind and listen to Nevermind. Yeah.
Dude, that's like some deep philosophy shit, dude. Oh, dude. We've devolved. We've just devolved.
Yeah, we're unraveling. We should probably end. You guys want us to stop?
This is Bad Band Mates. I'm Bad Band Nate.
I'm Bad Band Josh. Make sure that you tune in next week. We'll be doing stuff. We'll be talking about some things.
Typically music, yeah. Okay, thanks, bye.